Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, May 5th, 2017. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It is indeed Casual Friday, folks. And joining us on the program, Cliff Schechter will be here. Larry Murphy will not be joining us for reasons I will talk about in a moment. Not that you were all anticipating Larry Murphy, but
I don't think anyone knew that.
I was.
I guess I was too.
Also on the program today, the Affordable Care Act repeal and replace. I don't even know what they call it, the ACHA. Passes in the House. This is a crap show, folks. Not this particular show, but this bill. And don't be so sure they won't pass something in the Senate. We will go through all of this bill to remind you just how bad it is, because if you've ever been motivated to do anything in terms of harassing your senators or, frankly, your House members, this should be it. Meanwhile, Attorney General from New York, Schneiderman, threatening to sue based upon a specific amendment that screws over New York or helps John Faso upstate, I should say. Meanwhile, what happens next in the Senate? We will talk about that. And remember yesterday when Trump signed that so-called religious freedom executive order? And I was like,
great.
This sounds like BS.
Sounds like Saudi Arabia.
Turns out it was BS. There was nothing. It was just, he just signed a document that said some words that were meaningless.
Gotta win.
And Fox News woes? They're about to get much, much worse. All this and more on today's program. I think you got to turn down my microphone just a little bit, I have a feeling. Yeah, I think that's. I think we're a little closer. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear with what's going on today.
Oh, my gosh.
No, you don't have to.
You're about to go down.
It's important. People should know. Oh, that's good. Larry is. Well, I'll get to Larry in a moment. But. Matt is out of town, so Michael and Kelly
yes.
Are running the, you should really turn your microphone down a little bit too, actually. Michael and Kelly are running the board and the video, so we may have some technical issues. I have taken like 3.5 Xanax.
Could you do this every day, actually?
Could you just lay off the mic just a little bit? Actually, you do got to turn it down just a little bit. It does. Just make sure that it's not hot coming out of that board. You see the green light that's going on to there? Just make sure we don't get too high there. So just a heads up. But so far, so good. Larry Murphy was going to be with us today, but and Larry is my friend. He plays Teddy on Bob's Burgers and about another half a dozen voices in any given episode. Also very famous for his performance as Assie McGee in the self-entitled cartoon Assie McGee. And if you look up, I think it's still there, the top of my IMDb page or IBMD or
IMDB,
IMDB, whatever that thing is. For a long time, my top credit was The Douche from Assy McGee, which I was very proud of. But now I think, I don't know, he's got pushed down or something. I'm not sure.
I just want to interject for one moment to say that you didn't mention where Matt went, which is to an all-weekend rave.
Well, I mean, really? Was it an all-weekend rave? I thought he was just...
No.
Yes.
It's a music festival.
It's an all-weekend rave.
Oh, okay. All right, so he's going to party.
Yeah,
but that's it. I didn't want to. I didn't want to get too. You know,
we don't
may
to
not
want
to. He may not want to share that
geolocation.
Oh well, that I already tweeted out. But the reason why I raised that Larry is not here, in addition to saying he'll join us later, or some you know in the future. He's here. He's not here because his kid has the mumps. Now his kid, Larry, does not live in 1920. Larry lives in Massachusetts, and the kid had been vaccinated for the mumps. But here's the thing about vaccinations: their efficacy, I don't know. It depends on what the vaccination is not that high. I should say, it's not 100%, and then it varies from there. Some kids still can get it, but that is the point of herd immunity. The point of herd immunity is if everybody gets vaccinated, the efficacy of each person's vaccination doesn't actually change, but it just means that there's a less chance that those that one out of whatever, I don't know, 100 or 200 that is more susceptible to the mumps, the vaccination doesn't necessarily work for them, is not exposed to it. But, you know, Larry was upset because he says he knows a lot of people who are not getting their vaccinations in that area. And this story today in Minnesota, the state is suffering its worst measles outbreak in decades. And apparently part of it is that in the Somali community, not that there was anything there particularly anti-vax, but they heard a lot of the anti-vax stuff and assumed, oh, I'm in America, I'm not susceptible to these diseases in the way that I might have been in Somalia, which is probably true in of itself, but it doesn't mean they don't exist. And both, it tells the story of a woman who was a Somali immigrant, but came, I think, you know, when she was 15 or 16. And she had a sister who died of measles at age 3 in Somalia. When she came to this country, she thought, there's no way those diseases, you know, exist here. I'm in America. Her 3-year-old boy and her 18-month-old girl have contracted measles. Her daughter was hospitalized for 4 nights and needed intravenous fluids and oxygen. The immunization rates plummeted. In Minnesota, and last month the first cases of measles appeared. Soon there was a full-blown outbreak. One of the starkest consequences of an intensifying anti-vaccine movement in the United States and around the world has gained traction, in part by targeting specific communities. And apparently, is it the case that maybe that guy Wakefield, who had been discredited, had several talks in the Somali community? Look, I understand why people are nervous about getting vaccines because no one likes to see their child stuck with a needle. I don't even like to get a needle, frankly. And you see them injected, you don't know what it is because you're not a doctor. You're just watching them get stuck with a needle. But there is absolutely no evidence. In fact, there's evidence to the contrary that immunization causes autism, which apparently is the big fear in this instance. And, you know, you talk to your doctor. If you're really worried about it, for whatever reason, you can ask your doctor, like, what's the extent I can spread this out? Maybe you can spread it out an extra, you know, couple months or something. But you got to get your kids vaccinated. You got to do it. I mean, I understand, and I've talked about this in what people think is maybe a too nuanced way. I understand the fear, and I also understand, like, why it's difficult in this country, because as a public policy matter, immunization keeps our populations and our children safe. Does that mean that there aren't side effects in small, in rare instances? Of course there are. There are side effects for everything. People can take, you know, people can be allergic to penicillin. Of course. But as a matter of public policy, and then even in as a matter of keeping your children safe, get them vaccinated. So that next time, you know, I don't have to have one of the guests can't come in because the kids got mumps. But obviously much bigger reason than that. No, you get vaccination. I mean, I think a lot of, frankly, a lot of, and I've done probably more reading about this and gone down wormholes more than I wanted to, in part because I've had an ongoing, you know, Bobby Kennedy is one of those people who he will not identify as an anti-vaxxer. But he has certainly had issues. And I think one of the reasons, there's two reasons why. I think, I don't know the specifics in Bobby Kennedy's case, but, you know, I only know this from dealing with my Ring of Fire. But one, you heard stuff like what we heard at the lawyers' conference last week, right? I mean, where Remington was aware that people were going to die. And because they had a gun that wouldn't that fired on its own. But, you know, we don't want to get too carried away with creating alarm because it would cost us profits or the various drugs and whatnot. And so I think people who have worked in that world have a sense of just how far corporations will go to protect their profits. And I think it's always good to be skeptical of pharmaceutical companies and other companies, frankly, corporations. The other thing is that we do have a system in this country where immunizations are have a reduced liability, and that in the event you are injured by an immunization, you go to a special court and there are payouts there, and it's not a terribly transparent process. And whenever you don't have transparent processes, of course, you get people who develop conspiracy theories around them. The reason why it's not transparent is because, you know, immunizations only work if everybody gets immunized. So it's a tough situation. I understand I emotionally understand why people you know are nervous about it at times. But I mean, if you look at the data, immunizations are very safe, and in fact, they're not just safe; they save lives, and they may be saving your kid's life. We're going to talk a lot more about the Health Care Act in when we get Cliff on the phone. But do you realize what day it is today, right? It's May. When isn't like Mother's Day is soon, right?
Yes.
When is it?
2 weeks.
Mother's Day is like soon, yes.
Okay. This is perfect because I had no idea what Mother's Day is. Like now it occurs to me it comes in spring. But I would have forgotten. But here's the beauty. I mean, to me, that is the beauty of Pro Flowers. Now, we just got a sample of a bouquet from Pro Flowers. And, sadly, a box of chocolate that came in it, too. Which it took me about a half an hour to deal with, if you know what I'm saying. Delicious. But one of the nicest things you can do for somebody is give them flowers. It just is. People like them. I don't know why. For me, personally, I find,
I love it.
The floral smell sometimes gets a little
get a little itchy in your eyes.
Yeah.
But
I'm guessing you didn't decorate your home. So when flowers are in it, it looks nice.
Yes, it's true. And this bouquet from Pro Flowers is really beautiful. They sent 100 blooms for your mom. And it doesn't have to be for your mom. It can be for your wife, your grandmother, any mom. And you know what? I mean, I think I might even get some for my sister because she's an aunt and she comes over and she helps with the kids. And
one time a boyfriend got them for me because I was a mother to my dog. I broke up with him.
Well, of course. Yeah, you got to dump that guy immediately. Listen to this. It comes with a free glass. So you get 100 blooms bouquet with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And you can upgrade to a premium vase and include the gourmet chocolates for just $10 more. You get to keep the vase. It's a beautiful vase.
Yeah, you don't have to return it to the company.
I just like to say vase. Well, I was really shocked when I opened up the flowers. I was like, they give you a vase too?
I like that's there you go. You're a vase guy. Not the flowers, but what they stay in.
I was really impressed, actually, the vase. I was like, did you say the vase? And the chocolates were delicious. You choose the delivery date you want for Pro Flowers, and they are guaranteed to arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for at least 7 days or your money back. The only way to get 100 blooms for mom with a free glass vase starting at $19.99 is to visit proflowers.com. And here's what you do. You visit proflowers.com, you click on the microphone in the top right corner, and use my code CEDER, S-E-D-E-R, S-E-D-E-R. That's my last name. That's proflowers.com and code CEDER when you click on the mic. This stunning bouquet sells out fast, so order today. Make it easy on yourself. Just order it now. Pick the date, and it will show up then. And then you're done. That's what I like about it. And you do three or four of these things, and you're done. You don't have to have it hanging over your head. That is proflowers.com. Click on the microphone, CEDER, S-E-D-E-R. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter, and we'll be talking about this really scary healthcare bill that passed in the House yesterday.
Set my soul on fire.
We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Casual Friday, and even though we're just running just a little bit later than normal on a Casual Friday with Michael and Kelly operating the technical aspects of the program, it is... It is the occasion in which, even though Matt is not here to play it, we play this song. It is Casual Friday, and even though we're just running into a little
Cliff Shackton, Libertas LLC,
Michael,
New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services? You know who you gotta see.
It is Cliff
Shackton,
Libertas
LLC.
Now I hear you. Is this the live you?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Yesterday in the House, the ACHA passes, and it's a little bit scary, no?
Yeah, because we've gotten one step closer to their blowing up 1/6 of our economy, and they don't even seem, a lot of these guys don't even seem that concerned. And it sort of also, at the same time, blew up the myth of that you keep hearing from the media all the time. I've seen some smart people like Norm Ornstein, others on Twitter pointing this out, but they call anybody who's sort of, you know, willing to entertain not doing that a moderate. Well, a lot of those so-called moderates voted for this thing. 14 of 23 who were in districts that Hillary Clinton won and the Republican congressional member won voted for this thing. And not all, some of these are rabid conservatives who shouldn't be there. Others at least are people who pretended to be more moderate. And yet, you know, they've admitted things that about this, that the damage it's going to cause in states, the people with pre-existing conditions not being able to get insurance, prices going through the roof. If you have any number of like 50 different, you know, pre-existing conditions, I mean, alone the list, asthma, anxiety, all sorts of things that are, that many people suffer from. Being raped or sexually assaulted now is a pre-existing condition. Of course, erectile dysfunction is not. You're okay. Shocking when you have the diversity of 50, 60, and 70-year-old white guys, maybe a few in their 80s, for some more diversity standing out there cheering this thing on. I mean, the sort of sheer stupidity of it, the heartlessness, you know, that it's a game to these guys. They just wanted to win because they promised they would do it. I mean, one of them said that, could check it off his list, you know, said that to a reporter, I think maybe said it anonymously. Representative Chris Collins of New York went on TV and got caught and had to admit he's never even seen the bill, hasn't read it, well, knows nothing about how the healthcare system was actually working, but just sort of assumes it'll be okay. Let me say one more thing. And final one, Tom Cole of Oklahoma, who voted for it and said, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, it doesn't make a huge – there are things in there that don't make sense, but we assume it'll come back from the Senate in much different form. We just need to vote on something. And these are people that are actually, like, in positions of power in our country.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you something. I think your point is well taken about the idea of the moderate. And they do know what's in this bill because it is basically the same bill that they tried to pass the last month. And the only difference is, you know, as far as we can tell at this point, is actually there's two differences that make it significantly worse. Well, I guess one is an $8 billion literally drop in the bucket. We've talked about risk pools in the past. You need about $25 billion a year to actually get risk pools to function at the level that we are now in terms of you, if that's how you're going to serve people with pre-existing conditions and be able to offer them a 68% subsidy on the premium. So you're still looking at like at least $10,000 a year, but you'd need $25 billion a year for these risk pools. The other thing that this does is that it provides a waiver. And this is going to be even, this is what's going to make this even worse than pre Affordable Care Act. The waiver allows states to basically say you don't need those essential benefits. You don't need to have lifetime. You don't need to. We're not going to prohibit lifetime caps, as you said, or annual caps.
Mm-hmm.
But big employers, because of changes in the federal law after the Affordable Care Act took place, where it was basically like, because the Affordable Care Act created a basement floor for the quality of insurance to actually qualify as health insurance, the federal government now basically said you can shop as a big employer state to state. Because there may be idiosyncrasies that you prefer that are allowed in another state as opposed to your state. And now that we've created a baseline, nobody can fall through that baseline, so it doesn't matter. Well, now it's going to matter, because if I'm a big employer and I'm in New York or California or any other state in the country, and let's say, Alabama has a waiver where we don't have to provide any essential benefits. There can be lifetime and annual caps and whatnot. I, as that big employer, can say, I'm going to abide by those states' changes. And that makes it, that means there's no state protection, regardless of what kind of state
you're in. Let's go a step worse and cover you guys where you live, which is in New York and California. The subsidies that they're providing as part of their Trump care can only be used on plans that do not provide abortion services. California and New York require all plans to provide abortion services. So there, no subsidies can be used by anybody living in the states of California or New York, which somebody might want to tell those seven or so Republican California members of Congress, many of whom are in swing districts, and the four or five ones from New York who voted for this piece of crap. So you're being discriminated against actively by living in New York or California. And one might believe there aren't that many Republicans. There's a good dozen congressional Republicans who voted for this knowing that.
People should also know.
I just don't have to see this isn't a disaster for them.
Well, look, it may be a political disaster for them, but it's going to be an actual disaster for the rest of the country. Because
that's a bigger deal, yeah.
Prior to Obamacare, Medicaid was a little bit smaller than it is today. Today, Medicare serves 74 million people. Maybe they're living in poverty. Maybe they're disabled. Maybe they're elderly. The Affordable Care Act expanded the Medicaid, I should say, roles. But what this will also, this will block grant Medicaid. So it starts by cutting $880 billion over 10 years, which is one quarter of the budget of Medicaid. One quarter of the budget of Medicaid is cut on day one. And then because it's block granted to states, they don't actually have to use it for Medicaid as we know it now. They can siphon off this money and use it in different ways. This is going to affect special ed. This is going to affect addiction services.
Special ed gets screwed. Veterans are going to lose some of their, I'm trying to remember, subsidies or tax breaks, a big number of them for this. I mean, there's really no group that's left out that doesn't get screwed by this.
We're going to lose the 10 essential benefits for the most part. You know, it's conceivable. It's just going to break the insurance markets, but the 10 essential benefits that we get, those are basically gone via waiver I don't know how much, what percentage of the country it'll be. And then you could actually be in New York and not get those again, because your large scale employer may say, like, well, we're just going to go by Alabama's rules, and they don't require the 10 essential health benefits, ambulatory care, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity. A lot of people won't have maternity coverage anymore. Mental health, like we said, rehabilitative and prescription drugs. There's a whole myriad of things that go down the tubes. I mean, you know, we forgot how, or at least I did, how disastrous this bill was, because they didn't release the text before the second go round. It hasn't been scored by the CBO yet, but we're recalling.
Weird, because I remember them once complaining about those kinds of things.
Right. I mean, that hypocrisy stuff is, you know, I guess it's worth noting, but that's the way it happens. But just
that's,
a reminder.
That's their bread and butter,
On the last score it got with the CBO, there was a $3 billion savings to Social Security. Now, why might there be a $3 billion savings to Social Security because of a...
People die.
Yeah.
That's why. That literally, because these are... Remember Sarah Palin's death panels? You got them, kids. Except for the Republicans are the ones you're going for.
Social Security will actually save $3 billion in the future because the rate of death, the number of people who will live to the age of 65 or to age 70 or 75 will decline because they don't have health care. I mean, how effed up is that? How do you have, and this is, and this is from the last CBO score. And frankly, I'd be surprised if that number doesn't go up in the next CBO score for this specific bill. How do you read that? And certainly, you know, they read that part of the bill. Maybe they didn't, but how do you read that and vote for this bill? How do you do that?
I don't know, because I couldn't. So you have to be sort of an amoral cretin to do it. And I guess that describes 217 people in the House of Representatives. I mean, I don't know how you can read this. And I don't know how you can do this morally. I don't know how you can do it policy-wise. I don't know how you can do it politically. I mean, there's so many stupid things about this whole effort and what these guys just did. And yeah, if this stuff does go through, it will be disastrous. Obviously, the big question is, what will the U.S. Senate do?
Right.
You know, there's no way they'll get to 60 with any of this. So will they get rid of the filibuster for this? Who knows? We've seen them do it for the Supreme Court, so I certainly could see them doing it on this. You know, will Susan Collins and Dean Heller, who's up next year in Nevada, and a couple of the other Republicans who are potentially vulnerable, will they do it? Good question, because I think they would be kissing their careers goodbye. Maybe they're still willing to do that. So the question is, can most of this stuff pass in the Senate? I'd say as an uphill battle, but people need to keep fighting because you
now,
never know.
Now, aren't they doing this under reconciliation? So all they need is 50 plus one. Is my understanding.
I think, though, for some of the changes they wanted to do to it, if they just stick to the number stuff, but if any changes to language and those kinds of things, they will need to get to 60.
Is that right?
I was reading something of that sort. I will fully admit I'm not a parliamentarian, never worked in the House and don't understand, or the Senate, and I don't understand this stuff fully. But at least from what I was reading from, I don't remember who it was, somebody who theoretically knows something about this, that for some of the things they want to do, they'll need 60. Some they can do with 51.
Interesting. The bottom line is I'm not convinced. I mean, this is what scares me, right? They can pass whatever they want to pass in the Senate. I mean, we're hearing all of these, and, you know, particularly people like maybe like Collins and, you know, Flake. And frankly, most of the senators are saying, like, we're going to start with a clean slate, because what happens is once this bill goes to the Senate, they get to craft their own, and they could basically make up an entirely different bill. And if they pass it, what happens is you get a conference between leaders from the House and leaders from the Senate, and they hammer out the details of a bill, and those bills go back to the respective houses. And as far as I know, at that point cannot be amended. And there's a vote on those. My understanding on this is that they are doing it via reconciliation in the Senate. But like we say, it doesn't have to be the same bill. But here's what scares me. The moderates, the so-called moderates in the, the Tuesday group or whatever they call themselves, They've already taken this vote in the House. They've already paid the price, right? The idea that they would flip-flop, they know they're still going to pay a political price. The Freedom Caucus, even if the bill comes back and it's not quite as draconian as this one. They also can feel like, we won. I can't control the Senate. I'm going to blame the Senate. I mean, it seems to me that if Ted Cruz and Rand Paul sign on to this, you're going to have the Freedom Caucus. And then anything else that comes out of the Senate, if it passes, is going to be okay with the rest of them, because they're looking at what, you know, for a Republican lawmaker is basically the reason they exist. This is a $1 trillion, you know, over a certain period of time, tax cut. I mean, this is an right. expansive tax cut, primarily focused on people making over $250,000 a year.
Yeah. That's then that is kind of their reason for being. I mean, it is the love that dare not speak. Well, actually, it speaks its name all the time. It is why they exist. I mean, I am convinced they're going to try to do something in some form or fashion of this. There's no doubt. But it again, I think, you know, some of the worst parts of this will be very hard to get through the Senate. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, there would be, I would imagine there would be a lot of concern. I mean, even, Lindsey Graham was like, I have a problem with it as it is now. But, you know, it's going to be a different bill. I mean, that's the thing, is that we just don't know what's going to be in conference. And that's what, the idea that they would be able to pass something so heinous out of the Republican House, I think is what surprised me. Like, I thought if there was going to be if the bill was going to reflect anything, it would have been contrary to what the Freedom Caucus wanted. But the Freedom Caucus drove this bus.
They did. And they believed in the end, and I guess in this you have to give them credit, that they could be tougher than the sort of so-called moderates in their party, what's called the mainstream conservatives, maybe three or four actual moderate-ish people mixed in. And they prove themselves right. But again, so often in the past, it's been going on for years now. You know, I mean, I remember it happening when George W. Bush was elected, and everyone said, oh, don't worry, the moderates in the Senate will save us. And, in the House and the Senate will save us. And they do on some things. I mean, there's no doubt that some crazy stuff doesn't get through. But when it comes to some of these kinds of things, they fold. Certainly, it's more often been with things like Supreme Court nominations and others that are clearly inappropriate. But, you know, this proved that even on something as big as this, I mean, this for them, I will say, is even sort of a step beyond what they've done before. And that so many members of this, whatever it is, Tuesday group or Main Street coalition, or people kind of, you know, pass themselves off as not crazy, were willing to vote for this thing. It just shows, I mean, you know, how pathetic. I mean, I have to believe they honestly don't think it will. They'll get credit for that, and it will never go anywhere. However, when you're dumb enough to go outside and sort of start celebrating together, that creates some nice imagery for attack ads.
Well,
I think you're right about this.
I think a lot of those people in that Tuesday group or whatever it is, I think they think, okay, this is going to go to the Senate and it's going to die. But I wonder. I mean, I really do wonder if that's the case, because, you know, the Senate had to be thinking, like, there's no way the moderates in the House are going to pass this. There's this sort of, they keep, it seems to me, you know, we're seeing a similar dynamic to what we saw almost in the Republican primaries, right? Like,
hey, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
You be the guy to take out Trump. No, because I'm not going to do it. I'm afraid, we're just going to assume somebody else is going to do it. And that's what's
funny.
Really,
I was thinking that exact metaphor in my head. You know what I mean? It's like, where have we heard this before?
They're all sitting there hoping that the other guy is going to be the one to pull the plug on it. And they're all too afraid. They're too afraid of their base voters, because that's all it is, right? I mean, Al Franken made the point the other day, I guess, on television. More people believe that ghosts exist than support this bill in this country. 18% of Americans believe they've seen a ghost. 17% support
this bill. 16 or 17, yeah. And like 56% oppose. So it's not even like there's like, oh my God, there's so many. I mean, there's a decent number of undecideds, but over a majority are opposed to it. So really, again, it does somewhat come down to gerrymandering. But it comes down to a lot of this. It comes down to gerrymandering, their kind of arrogance about that, their arrogance that they'll be able to, that they'll have more, you know, dirty Koch brother type money flow into their districts so that they, you know, that they can mitigate the damage from this. But, you know, I don't know. Let's see what happens. I mean, there was a hell of a reaction to when, to what happened to people who voted, you know, the Democrats after voting for Obamacare because it was so demonized and people didn't actually know the truth about it. Here, people actually do know the truth about this. It's been pretty widely out there. Mm. And people are a lot more engaged than they were in the past. You know, I don't know which way it's going to happen. Again, you know, we're in all sorts of uncharted territory in many ways. We have been for, you know, since November. But I do think that that it'll be interesting to see what the Senate tries to do to grapple with this and then what happens to these people. As, you know, because I have a feeling if they've been already hearing from voters in their districts, you know, not one of these guys are going or gals are going to a constituent meeting. They're going to be ducking and hiding in their districts for the next year and a half.
I think of all the, you know, they're all going on vacation starting to tomorrow, I guess. And I think there's only out of like the 200 and some odd Republican congresspeople, there are only seven of them are having town halls.
Good luck to them even.
And in the less than 24 hours that the vote was taken, I think Daily Kos has raised, I think, about $750,000 at this point, maybe more. Indivisible and Swing Left. Yeah. And there's literally been, I think, a couple million dollars raised against it. Now, look, you and I know that's not a huge amount of money when you're talking about the Koch brothers' money, but I think it's indicative of just sort of like of how attuned people are. And I mean, this makes Rob Quist's race in Montana and John Ossoff's race in Georgia, you know, that much more important. And John Ossoff had a go ahead.
Oh no, I would just say quickly, and interesting to see what, you know, these races are going to become referenda on this. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they dominate this race and what these Republicans do to try to defend what they just did.
The first thing that, the first, like literally seconds after the vote, Quist in Montana, you know, tweeted about how he would vote against this in the Senate. And I don't know if Karen Handel has come out and said anything about the ACHA, but I would imagine she is wishing that they had waited to take this this vote.
That's right. And they defunded Planned Parenthood in there, which can just keep that issue alive for her. Considering she's one of the original Planned Parenthood defunders from back in the day at Komen.
Yes. She's the one who destroyed the Komen Foundation in that when they tried to cut Planned Parenthood funding. Ossoff just had what I would consider to be a rather unfortunate ad. Apparently, this was his position, but it was a lot of deficit hawkery stuff, which I suppose it could be expected in a district like that. But I really find it hard to believe that. There are a lot of voters. I mean, it's one thing to have that position when pressed, but to think that, like, I'm going to cut an ad based on it, I don't know.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know if that's Georgia or 1997, he's living in. But either way, if Ossoff wins, that could be the thing that ends up killing this bill if he turns that race into this. Because they're more or less even at this point, right? And the Senate is going to take their time. They're going to start from scratch. So they're going to try and, you know, it's going to take them a month to even get a bill. I would bet. I don't even think this is going to be voted on until the end of the year. And it could, you know, that could, if John Ossoff wins in Georgia, that's going to make it a lot harder, I think, for people to vote for that conference bill, if there is one.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, also Quist in Montana would be perhaps an even bigger deal. I think those signals are already out there, because even before this thing, we were seeing this in plenty of elections. So, you're seeing where the energy is right now, and it's on the left. You know what I mean? So, I mean, these guys, I don't know, they think they're going to get away with this, clearly. There must be a calculation that they have that where they think everything's going to be okay that I'm not seeing. But, I mean, I think things are already looking sort of dire enough for plenty of Republicans in plenty of districts, and I think they just added to that. You can literally sit there and do calculations on kind of like what you did with Social Security and be like, they're planning on saving money by letting people die. I mean, these are pretty easy things to explain to people. This isn't all that hard in the end, you know? Every time you look at this bill again, you find, as you were pointing out, an attack on special education or veterans there's so many crappy parts of this bill. So I don't know. I don't know, man. They're crazy.
Well,
kind of known that for a while, but
this is, it's surprising. And, but at the same time, I think a lot of these, I think we're going to see, I wouldn't be surprised if we see, people resign or announce their resignation, the kind of pressure that, a Susan Collins is going to get to vote for this because of the tax cuts, right? I mean, this is why you go to Washington if you're a Republican. It is to cut the taxes of the wealthy. I mean, this is ideologically what you're interested in. It is what your funders are interested in almost exclusively. Granted, there's probably, Foster Freeze wants to have chastity belts on, to women until they're married or whatnot. But a lot of these people, at the end of the day,
at least the first year after marriage, too, to be safe,
their perspective is tax cuts first, and then most of the other things that we're interested in fall in line if necessary, and then, of course, the deregulation and whatnot. But in terms of big legislative achievements, and make no mistake about it, folks, this is just a huge tax cut. There's nothing in here that really purports to help anybody. I mean, I guess they can say this is going to make health insurance more affordable, and it probably will.
They can say it.
Well, it probably will for some small subset of Americans, but it won't be insurance that's going to help them if they need it. If you're fortunate enough to not be someone who ever has an extended period of stay in the hospital, and you're 35 years old, and it just so happens that you get into your 60s, you get on Medicare, and then you get hit by a bus, and you're just gone immediately, or you fall off a cliff, and this is going to be a good deal for you, because you're never going to need any health care.
But as Representative Mo Brooks said, that's the life. That's how life works out. If you have a pre-existing condition, it's your fault. So clearly, by the behavior you've chosen, is 100% determined whether you have any issue or not that will allow you to be covered or not. It's your fault.
It really is stunning, and people have to get out. I mean, there's, I think, like I said at the top, there are three different I know of. Three different sort of mechanisms that are attempting to raise money specifically on this. There's an Act Blue page, but I believe that is for all the districts with Republicans who voted yes. Daily Kos has one for Republicans, and this is much more targeted. And in some respects, I like that one, or the swing left one. Where districts where someone voted yes for this bill and where less than 50% went for Trump. I mean, taking out the most vulnerable Republicans. And, Nate Silver says that this increases the percentages of a wave. I mean, he went back, I think, to 1994 and 2006.
and has actually put, like, you know, this could be worth 6 points. Something like this could be worth 6 points across the board. It's,
and being that they're already down by about sort of six or seven in the generic polling, that would be kind of huge.
Yeah, I mean, people got to keep in mind, it is, we're still a year and a half away from 2018, A. B, the models that we have had up to this point have not been terribly effective in this era, right? I mean, it was all the models that were set up that, you know, predicted Hillary Clinton winning big. And we just don't, we really just don't know. Also, you know, we now are dealing with not just in since 2010, but really in the past, like 4 years, we're dealing with like these new, highly sophisticatedly gerrymandered districts. So this is all, you know, political science is not as, bet as it was before. Not that it was ever a completely sure bet, but I mean, there's a lot of reason to believe that the political science models are off. And so who knows? I mean, this is very scary stuff. I'm very, very concerned about this because I thought they might be able to pass a bill out of the House, but I thought it would be the conservative, the Freedom Caucus people who would be mad about it. And that's not what's happening.
Well, I will say again, we can't know until we get closer. As you said, it's a long time, and that's why it'll be more interesting to see first what happens in the Quist and Ossoff races, but even in other races. You know, I mean, there've been numerous sort of even on more local races that have gone on around different states. I mean, you know, we had a mayor's race here on Tuesday, and full disclosure, I worked for the challenger, who is a progressive African-American woman. and she was in a shock to everybody. This is a primary. There are more than two people. So now to go to a general where the top two will go. And she won by 11 points.
That was for your full disclosure that you worked for it. But she won by 11 points?
Yeah, in the primary. So there were three people in the primary, and they whittle it down in the primary to two. This is the incumbent who won pretty handily in 2013. He's a Democrat also, but a more conservative one who is more quote unquote pro business and is anti-choice. And she, shocking the world, was outspent by a good 10 or 12 or 14 to 1 and still won by 11 points in the primary. So now the general.
You're going to get one of these.
Wow, I didn't know the shofar would play for it.
Well, good for you. I think you were in a shofar.
I appreciate it. I'm just making that point, which is that's a race I happen to know something about. I'm sure there's races that are going on like this all over the country. I remember that state senate race that happened in Delaware.
Lincoln, Nebraska, apparently. You know, before we get to that mayor's race in Omaha, Lincoln, Nebraska, that's the city council. We saw in Mississippi, we had a... I think it was Mississippi. We talked about this yesterday in the program. I mean, you're hearing these type of stories, but it's, you know, it's hard to know, you know, when you hear these type of stories, are these representative of something, or are they simply people who are looking for these types of stories to tell because, you know, it's dark days.
Well, but that's why I brought the one up here, Sam. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's because I know more about that one and the turnout here. Normally, where there's a much heavier turnout among what you'd expect, white men, where they're still doing calculations on this, but turnout in certain key areas, African-American neighborhoods and others, it was through the roof, much higher than it normally is.
That's a good sign.
There does seem to be a story here that's going on in a variety of places where, you know, groups of people that have not as often, you know, single younger women, minorities, other groups that are disproportionately progressive, but also don't always turn out as often, their turnout is spiking in a huge way. And that's been, you know, so I don't know. I mean, maybe we're looking into it. Maybe we are trying to sort of piece together something that's not there. But that race in Kansas, you know, seemed to be saying something, as well as the race in California. and where 20 points dropped off on the Republican side. It happened in the primary or initial race for Ossoff. And I've seen it in some local races. I really do think there is something going on, and I don't think this bill is going to be helpful to them. I think it's only, as Nate Silver is saying, and Charlie Cook, the Cook Report, just rated 20 more House seats as moving in the Democratic direction. Every single one that changed moved in a Democratic direction.
I mean, what's interesting about this is that, you know, and we've said this before about this the special election in Georgia. And again, put aside for the moment that Ossoff is not going to be our favorite Democrat in the House if he wins. But this was a district, but Tom Price was never our favorite Democrat in the House either, nor was Newt Gingrich, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But these stories, I mean, we've talked, you know, you and I have probably talked about special elections over the course of like 12 years, I would say 15 years close to now.
Yep.
But these stories actually will have an impact on their voting. I mean, Matt, who apparently the rave has not started yet, IMs me that Ilana Ross Lighton, who's retiring. Oh, yeah, I guess he is firing. It's just that's the computer that Michael's. I was like, wow, Michael. I mean, Matt's really more engaged in the show that he's not here.
I guess I should have let him take that credit.
But she voted against it. So, you know, yep. She's on her way out, and she just, you know, realized, like, I have to live in my town, and I don't want to be walking down the street and have all these. Because, let's remember, she's in Miami, right?
Yep.
The thing that people forget about Medicaid, and we're talking about cutting one quarter of Medicaid and then block granting it, which means that the things that people are eligible to spend their Medicaid on now may not be there in the future. A huge percentage of Medicaid recipients, and I don't know if it's like, I think, well, I do know this. Two-thirds of the people who are in nursing homes are there and are being paid for by Medicaid.
Right.
And so,
exactly right.
You know, if you're a lawmaker from Florida, you don't want to be walking down the street, I think, now that you're out of office and having people come up to you and saying, like, you know, why is my grandmother or my mother or I been thrown out of my nursing home because we don't have any money for it because of Medicaid changes?
Right. Doesn't sound like a fun thing to have to live with. And that's because it's interesting. You're exactly right. That has to be the reason. It's not political because she's done. And she's in the district Hillary Clinton won by 20 points. And the only reason she's held on is she's one of the most moderate Republicans. And she's, you know, and she's a longtime incumbent. And so she's gone against the tide and been able to hold on there. And almost definitively, a Democrat will win that seat. So it's not political because she's leaving based on the fact that she has to live there.
Right. I mean, I think that was probably her decision as to why she resigned. She's like, she resigned. She doesn't want to walk around the house and have people there hate her.
Right. Which is interesting because, and I would say this, I know we have to go, but that's why I think the next couple of months are going to be incredibly interesting, especially if Quist either comes close or wins, and if Ossoff wins, I think you should expect to see at least a half dozen to a dozen more like her choose also to retire into solitude.
Well,
and
one can only hope. All right. Well, Cliff, I appreciate it. Thanks for putting up with a little tech difficulties early on. And
it happens, man.
Of course. And we will talk to you again next week. And I think we'll have, obviously, there won't be any action that have taken place in the Senate since then, but we probably will know the CBO numbers. And we will probably be talking about, hopefully, how people are going to those few town halls that Republicans are having. I mean, you know,
maybe there should be a Majority Report sponsored trip to one of them.
I was actually just like, literally, as you were saying that, I was just thinking like, I want to get in a car right now and park out in front of John Faso's house And I mean, I saw a clip last night on Maddow. She had the woman on. And John Faso, of course, is my congressman up in the 19th district where I still vote. And it was a really, just gut-wrenching. And apparently it's on the Indivisible the Indivisible site. I think it's on there. A woman sees Faso. You can't see the woman, really, because it's being shot from behind her. But you can see Faso. And Faso is the one who beat Zephyr Teach out in the 19th district with a lot of Robert Mercer money. A lot of Robert Mercer money. And the woman says, John, I went to high school with your wife. And like I think she said even maybe something to the fact like I did daycare for your kids. And he's like, oh, that's great. And she goes, please tell me you're not going to vote for this. I have a brain tumor. And if it weren't for, I guess Medicaid, I'd be dead now. And the expansion of Medicaid. And he was like, yeah, don't worry. I'll take care of you. Bah, 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 bah. Hugs her multiple times. And then votes for this piece of garbage, which is actually in New York. It's even worse when it comes to Medicaid because he wanted to, his calculation was we could save property taxes in the counties I represent by offloading some of the Medicaid costs out of the county system. This is known as the Collins, Faso Amendment, where we can offload the costs from the counties to the state and put the pressure on the state. Now, that may not, New York State may step up and deal with it, but it's that craven of a vote for this guy. And I don't know. I find it just shocking. I really do. I mean,
you can't get past. They're just reprehensible people. So, it's up to us, all of us, especially on shows like this, to keep reminding people of that for a long time now.
Yeah.
You know, for the next 16, 18 months.
Yeah, because people have to
I'm sure they'll show, they'll show their colors again and again, who they are. All right.
All right. Well, Cliffy, we'll talk to you next week.
Great job on your election. Not your election, but the election. Talk to you later.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye, Kelly.
Bye.
I watched that footage last night of John Faso, and I was like,
what would you do if you go sit outside? You gonna go punch him or what? I'll go with you. We'll do a stakeout. I'll go punch him
and antagonize him to get him to punch me.
I'll get him to punch me.
Well, all right.
You have kids and stuff. I can go to jail. I don't care.
Well, I'm not going to plan a crime right now on air. I hope Zephyr Teachout either runs again or
maybe the other guy. Maybe the guy that she defeated in the primary should run again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was good too, but my understanding is that there needs to be strength from across the river up there.
I see.
And
they really hugged her and told her that she'd be okay. Huh?
Oh yeah, I mean it's crazy. We got to find that video. We'll play it maybe the other day. But in the meantime, let's play a couple other videos before we go to. Well, let's go to the fun half now, I guess. Why are you looking so panicked?
I'm not panicked. I'm just a little scared. It's fine.
That's all right. Well, we'll go to the fun half.
Better if I'm scared because then I'd be on my toes.
All right. So, folks, just a reminder. It is your support that makes this show possible. We cannot do it without you. I should say this. Last night I went... and I heard a very interesting talk by a politician who's involved on the state level. And he had just it was sort of a casual thing, but he has this idea about what's really important, that state government is really
a crucial going forward, and particularly taking back state legislatures, which I think, you know, we've talked about on this program because of those 2020 census. And that there is, you can have an outsized impact on a state Senate race as a group of people. So, I mean, it's something that I'm going to look into. People have, you know, on this program, we have a you know, we're not Daily Kos size site group of people, but we do have a lot of people heavily involved and aware of what's going on. And maybe there's an opportunity for us to, you know, have some actual measurable impact over the course of the next 3 years, where we could impact the outcome of maybe some state Senate races. And there's a lot, it turns out, a lot of states around the country where there's a one or two person difference in control as to who would control the state. And if you control the state houses going into 2020, you then have control of the redistricting process. And that is hugely important. So we'll talk more about that in the near future. But in the nearest of futures, we're going to go to the fun half. And I'm going to ask you, if you do have the means to become a member of the Majority Report, please do. If you don't have the means and you still want the bonus time that we give virtually every day. I don't even know why I say virtually, but I'm trying to cover myself just in case, like, one day we have to go.
Is that really what's going on?
Yeah.
You always say virtually, kind of the way Biden says literally.
Well,
it's a filler for you. It's fine.
It's not filler. I mean, I honestly...
You really are trying to cover yourself.
My hedge. Because I would hate someone to say, like, you said every day, and I've noticed... 3 days in 2015 where you left early.
Well, I guess, no, I mean, even there have been days actually when literally everyone has left early and I've like finished the show or old Matt finished the show. But other than a vacation, there has never been a time where there has not been a second half.
Literally. Like even that time where Saul got locked in the
finished the show for you.
Wait, what?
And Matt wasn't even there.
Saul got locked in.
Matt wasn't even around. That was literally like you.
Oh, yeah, you were doing the board.
I did the whole.
How did you do that?
I did fine. Just like this time. That problem we should figure out because that wasn't on my end.
It might have been me.
I think you were playing. I think you were playing the YouTube and it was coming back in.
Maybe.
All right, are we ready?
No.
Well, I shut down.
JustCoffee.coop, Fair Trade Coffee, tea or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And also, if you buy your crap from Amazon, buy it through our links.
Jet.
Or and jet.com too, at MajorityReportKickback.com. 646-257-3920. We'll take your phone calls. We'll be right back after this. Bye.
Hey, should we take one? La poupée qu'il fait non.
Fuck off.
I give her my love, she says no. My heart.
Ask her to